Come on now. Turn it up a little bit.
There is freedom with the Spirit of the Lord. Is there freedom with the Spirit of the Lord?
going to do that again. Come on, one more time. Come on now, I want you to think about this right here. Can I say this before we get into the message this morning? We're going to do this song one more time. Can I tell you that he doesn't love you because you're perfect? He doesn't forgive you because you do everything right? Let that sink in this morning. You don't overcome. The Bible does not say we overcome by our willpower. Oh, yes, we're to resist temptation and try to live a holy life. But guess what? Even our best efforts fall short. We don't overcome by our own strength. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of Jesus. Our faith in that. And I'm going to tell you, we know that sometimes in our brains. But knowing it in our heart that even when we mess up or fall down or don't do everything right, that somehow he doesn't love us and he's left us. And that's just not true. He knows those who hate sin, hate iniquity, hate injustice, hate their evil that dwells in all of us. God knows those who hate it. He knows those who indulge it. Which one are you? That's all that matters. You hate it and try to follow him and live above it as much as you can, or do you indulge it? And he's looking at it. He knows the difference between the two people, no matter how much the outward show they put up there. And see, that's the freedom that's in Jesus. He knows who's trying, and he knows who's not trying. And the ones that are trying are the ones that get the freedom. And the freedom is, guess what? It's not that you will never sin. The freedom is that he'll wash it away. So let's do this one more time with that in mind. He loves us. He forgives us, not because we do everything perfect. In fact, he loved us while we were yet sinners. Doesn't it say that somewhere in Romans? All right. Let's do this song one more time.
Thank you.
Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. We are thankful, Lord God. We are so thankful, Lord, for your love and mercy, for your grace, for forgiveness of sins. Lord, we are thankful, Lord, that you are with your people. You know those who love you. You know those who hate their sin and their errors and their struggles. You know those who love you with all their heart. You know, Lord, those who are wounded, who have many other struggles and triggers that nobody knows about. And, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to bring your peace, your love, your healing power into people's hearts today to understand, Lord, that you know the truth. You know deep down. You know those who are serving you, those who love you, and those who are just playing games. You know the difference. And we thank you for your love, and we thank you for your truth. And we ask you, Lord, to just lead us and guide us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Give us strength to overcome temptation, the flesh, the devil, this whole world system, evil system trying to pull us down. We ask for your strength and for the blood of Jesus to cover us and to keep us, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated this morning. You know, there's always balance in the kingdom of God. That didn't start with Karate Kid. There's always balance. And when, you know, as over the years I've preached very hard, of course, writing a book entitled Grace Abuse, lets you know where I stand. I don't believe that we are to, as Christians, abuse the grace of God and believe the lie that we can just live any way we want to live, indulge whatever sins or evil that we want to indulge, and think that for a second that that mentality is going to lead us to heaven and to eternal life and to a proper relationship with Jesus. But having said that, we also have to bring into balance the other side of the coin. And the other side of the coin is that no matter how dedicated you are to the Lord, no matter how strong you are, no matter how much you pray or fast or read the Bible, no matter how hard you try, bottom line is you're always going to have a problem because you have a flesh body. And we have a sin nature that we inherited from our parents, Adam and Eve. And it is here until Jesus changes this mortal, corruptible body into an immortal and incorruptible body like his. And as Christians, I think sometimes some of us beat ourselves up to the point that really, honestly, we think we're being, you know, holy by beating ourselves up if we fall down or if we mess up or if we sin. Instead of flipping that to where we need to flip it in, and that is reminding ourselves that our faith is not supposed to be in our own strength or abilities, but in the blood of Jesus, what he has done, not what we have done. And this is something that's very hard for us sometimes, because especially people that have the fear of God and understand, yes, you can fall away and live in sin and end up in hell, we tend to also be a people that strive, and if we do mess up, even when we're trying hard, then we get to the point where we beat ourselves up and we don't, listen, some of us don't even forgive ourselves. Right? And this is a problem, because you've always got to refocus. Remember, everything in the kingdom of God, when you start getting out of focus is when you start either looking at yourself too much, somebody else too much, when you're supposed to be looking at Jesus. And if we focus on that, we focus on, we overcome. And I said it a minute ago before we did the song again. We don't focus on our own strength or abilities. The only way you're going to overcome in this world, I mean, what does it mean overcome? The way you're going to make it, the only way you're going to make it is through faith in the precious blood of Jesus. And always trusting in that and leaning on that and looking to that. Because even the Apostle Paul, we're going to go to Romans chapter 7 this morning. Somebody said, oh no, Romans 7. You don't hear a lot of sermons on Romans 7 because it's tough. Because here's the Apostle Paul, and I think the Apostle Paul was probably one of the most holy, righteous, godly, obedient, self-sacrificing, cross-carrying Christians that's ever lived. And yet, his admission of his struggle with the sin nature and the flesh is probably one of the best things that Christians needed to hear, is that with all your striving, with Paul saying, and I can tell you, probably nobody tried to live and be an example for other Christians and live a holy life more than the Apostle Paul. And when God says, when the Apostle Paul can say, the Lord made me an example to those who should believe afterwards, when you can say that, you've been a pretty good example of Christianity. When that's in the Bible, because the Holy Spirit wanted that in the Bible, where Paul said, I'm an example, that right there is pretty powerful. But here's what Paul said. We're going to read this. Let's see, Romans 7. Oh, goodness, there's so much here. We're just going to drop down, and there's so much here. I don't know how much I want to read of this, but let's just go to verse 14. Now, he's talking about the Word of God. Now, we know that David, King David, in Psalm 119 wrote that we were to, you know, stay in the Word of God, meditate in the Word of God, love the Word of God, so that we might keep ourselves from sin, right? So Paul knew this. Paul knew the principle. Stay in the Word, meditate in the Word, get the Word of God in you, and that's going to help you overcome sin and temptation and the flesh. But Paul said this. He said, for we know that the law, or God's Word, we'll put it there, is spiritual. He said, but I am carnal, made of flesh. So all he's saying there is not that he was a carnal Christian. He's saying, I'm made of sinful, evil flesh, but I am carnal, sold under sin. What does sold there mean? Meaning my flesh, the carnal side of me, is still a slave to sin, to evil, to wickedness. That part of us has not been redeemed. Now, yes, Jesus paid the full price, but it hasn't been brought into fruition yet. Not until he comes and the resurrection happens do we get the flesh gets redeemed. It's the last thing to get redeemed, all right? The spirit gets redeemed first, the soul's in the process, and the flesh at the end. That's how it works, all right? So, but he's saying here, nobody likes to talk about this, but to some degree, we are still slaves to sin, to the sin nature, to the wickedness. And if you're a Christian, a true born-again Christian, and you love God, and you know him, and you love righteousness, and you hate wickedness and evil, when you hate this struggle that you find yourself in. I'm going to tell you right now, it's always a struggle. It will always be a struggle. I don't care if you're a baby Christian. I don't care if you've been saved 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. It never goes away. The flesh is always with us. Now, let's keep reading. Paul says this, the Apostle Paul. For that which I do, I allow not. Oh, my. So Paul actually admits here he doesn't always practice what he preaches. Now, we would call people like that a hypocrite. But can I tell you the truth? If the standard is that all Christians are to never sin, then we're all hypocrites. Right? Because if you go around telling people that you don't sin or acting like you don't sin or acting like you're better than everybody else, that is a hypocrite. Like Jordan, he acts like he doesn't get sick. No matter how much snot's running down his nose or how much his voice is, but he doesn't get sick. Well, there's some Christians like that say they don't sin. Or they, you know. I had to do that, brother. He's just teething, that's all. A little inside joke there. But think about that. For that which I do, he says, I allow not. So Paul tells people not to do stuff, but then he says, but I do it sometimes. Anybody, any Christian ever done that before? Mm-hmm. told somebody not to do something, they shouldn't do a certain thing, and then you find yourself going to do it. Yeah. He said, for that, for what I would, that do I not. So the things I want to do, I don't do. Oh, like pray. How many people want to have a daily prayer life and don't? Right? I want to, but I don't. Let me tell you what that is. That's the flesh getting in the way. That's us allowing the flesh and life to get in the way. But Paul's saying it happened to him too. The things I want to do, I don't do. But what I hate, that do I. Oh, me. Now, here's the biggest clue to this. And this is what I mentioned earlier, and I want to get this in you. What I'm preaching today by no means is a license or an excuse to go live and indulge the lust and the sins of the flesh. You understand that? And I'll make that clear. Because notice what Paul says. He says, the thing that I hate. If you have a right understanding of sin and how God feels about it and how you're supposed to live as a Christian according to Scripture, you will fear God and hate sin. You will hate it. And you will hate it when you sin. When you mess up, you will hate it. But there are a lot of people out there that call themselves Christians that don't hate it. They've made peace with it. Them and the devil and the flesh got together and signed a peace treaty. We're all good together. And you just have to understand, as long as you always hate sin, you hate it in your own life. You don't hate people. You hate sin that's in people, that's in our flesh. But you got to hate your own first. You got to deal with you. You hear me? But Paul said the thing, now think about this. The thing that I hate, that I do. How many of y'all know this? I mean, you know the Bible says, you know, you're not supposed to use bad language. And then somebody ticks you off. And then this whole comes out. Bleep, 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 bleep. But you didn't want to do that. So where'd that come from? Hanging out with truckers. Come on now, the truckers are the heroes right now. We can't talk about truckers. What does it say they're hanging out with construction workers? Oil rigs. We could go down the list. Paint crews. You know, I've heard everything in the world on construction sites. But he says, the thing that I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not. So if I do something I don't want to do. He said, I consent unto the law or the word of God, and that is good. Now, what he's saying here is when I do something wrong, when I sin, I consent to the word, meaning I admit it. God's word says not to do this, but I did it. But there's a lot of people, again, that don't do this. They're like, well, I don't care. God understands or whatever. They have all kind of different excuses, justifications, whatever. Different doctrines that comfort them in this. But Paul's saying, you know what? If I do something that I shouldn't do, I consent to the word of God, that the word of God is true, and I have failed, that I have sinned, that I have blown it. The word of God's right. I'm wrong. We got a lot of people right now going, well, I don't know if I believe that in the Bible. Well, I believe some of it, but not all of it. No, all of it. So, you know, because I've had men that are, you know, in adultery try to tell me, well, God understands and stupid stuff. Well, David had two wives. Well, he was sinning too. He was in disobedience even under the old covenant. Kings were not to multiply wives to themselves. So he was in sin. Yeah, the man that loved God, the man after God's own heart, was in sin. And then he committed adultery with another man's wife. Then had him murdered. You want to think about David? Do you think David was the perfect example of this person who loved God with all of his heart, and yet all of a sudden he's having this moment of just, how could he do that? How could he? He already had two wives, probably more. How could he go take another man's wife and then kill him, have him killed on the battlefield? But even God said David was a man after his own heart. And David loved righteousness, and David hated iniquity. And yet, his flesh rose up, and he went the whole evil route. Now, he repented. He consented to the law. He said, you know what? I have sinned, Lord, against you and against heaven. Psalm 51 is all about that. He repented, and he never did it again, as far as we know. In Scripture, he never did it again. But let me just tell you, and this is what the Lord wanted me to talk about this today. Don't think for one second you can be doing the best you've ever done in your walk with God, and you could be in the wrong moment, in the wrong place, the wrong time, with the wrong people, and end up doing the wrong things. David walked out on the balcony. Remember it said in, what was it, 2 Samuel 11? Somewhere in that range, where he walked out on the balcony, and it says that when kings were supposed to be at war, so if he'd have been doing what he was supposed to be doing, he wouldn't have walked out on the balcony and seen Bathsheba, which, from what we know now, and history, this was a setup. Her uncle, Ahithophel, put her up to it because he wanted to get in, bring David down, basically. But still, no excuse. He walked up there, saw her, got her brought in. She gets pregnant. He brings her husband home from the battle, from the front where he was supposed to be. Gets him drunk, tries to cover up his sin. Next thing, send him to the front and have everybody withdraw from him. How evil is that? Don't get me wrong. You got it. This is something you need to be praying about. Say, Lord, don't let me ever be in the wrong place at the wrong time in a weak moment with the wrong people, because it will take you down. And here's the thing. When all of us admit, no matter how strong we are, that we're vulnerable to this kind of attack, and our flesh can just betray us and just want to go that direction. When we admit it, that's keeping ourselves humble. Nobody's thinking, I'm up here and you're down there. No. See, I knew, you know, back in 1987, I remember when the whole scandal came out of, what was his name? Praise the Lord, PTL. Before Baker, Jim Baker, that's right. Jim Baker, yeah. Well, and I think he repented, but then now it's gotten into weirdness again. But, you know, going to prison will humble you. But I remember when all that came out, and I remember Jimmy Swaggart, before his stuff came out, on TV just railing against them. They're a cancer in the body of Christ that need to be cut out. And I was like, oh, Jimmy. Oh, Jimmy. Be careful. Be careful. And it was months. A few months later before all of his sins were brought out in public. And you say, and look, let me just say this. I was in Jimmy Swaggart meetings back in early 87. The anointing of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, was upon that man. The man read the Bible. He read the Bible through every 6 months, so he stayed in the Word. And he prayed. He said God told him to tithe his time. He prayed over 2 hours, 2.5 hours every day, and prayed in tongues on top of it. The man led 3 million people to Jesus. I used to sit, and the anointing was so strong, when, especially in his foreign crusades, when he would be in another country giving an altar call, I'd just sit there and cry, seeing all those people come forward and get saved. The anointing was on him, but pride got on him. He forgot that he was living in a carnal, evil flesh suit, and he's railing on other people, Christians that were struggling and falling down, and boy, did he ever go down. And he went down hard. And God sent David Wilkerson to him to warn him, say, you need to just come on out and confess some of this stuff and deal with it now before it gets really ugly. And he didn't listen. But you admit, verse 15, you admit, or 16, you admit, the word of God's true, I'm wrong. The word of God's never wrong. God's never wrong. If anybody's wrong, it's me. I remember when I was angry, some people that had hurt me and did me wrong, and I was angry at them, and I really had unforgiveness and anger and bitterness, offense with them. And then I had to finally admit that I was angry and bitter and offended at God because he let it all happen, right? I didn't sit there and go, well, I'm not. I would say, Lord, I'm upset with them and you. And I said, I know that's wrong, but I'm just telling the truth, right? This is how I feel. But it's wrong because I know you've never done anything wrong. And so, you know, I had to work through that. Anybody had to work through that? Yeah. All right. Now let's go to verse 17. Now this is the good, starting in the good news here. He's letting us know. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. What Paul was saying is that I do not want to do this. The spirit man, the soulish man of me, does not want to do this. And it's not even me that's doing it. It's the sin that dwells in me. And guess where it dwelleth? Anybody take a hint of what the present tense Greek verb is there? Or the verb is, I told you already. So what does that mean? Ongoing continuous action taking place in the present. So Paul was saying, sin is continually and presently dwelling, living, abiding in me. You don't get rid of it. You get forgiven of your past sins. You do not get rid of your sin nature. I know there's people out there talking about you do. They've lost their ever-loving minds. Because I've been in this thing 35 years. I've counseled probably into the thousands now, who knows, over these years. I hadn't met any sinless Christians yet. Now, unless there's some other, you know, moon out there or something that they live on, I don't know. But no human beings. But he says, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. What? You mean this old flesh carnal suit is worthless? Yep. It pretty much is. It's a temporary dwelling place for who you really are. You're a spirit person. You're a spirit being who has a soul and you live in a body. And this body doesn't live forever. But God, when God changes it, it will. But now, no. It's bad. It always wants what it's not supposed to have. Always. I don't care. I don't care how strong you are. Always. Somebody say always. Always wants what it shouldn't have. So he says, for I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me. I have the desire, the will, the determination. It's always present with me to do what's right. This is the difference between a Christian, a true Christian, or a backslidden Christian, or an unsaved person. The true Christian is always, the will is there to do what is right, what is just, what is holy, what is biblical. That's a Christian's will and desire. Their mind and their heart is always set on, I want to walk in righteousness. I want to live righteous. I want to obey God. I want to do the right thing. I want to say the right thing. I want to be a good example. So he said, Paul saying, that will, that desire, that determination to do what's right is always there with me, in my spirit, in my soul. And because I know the word of God. He says, but how to perform that which is good? I find not. Oh. That didn't mean always. But he's just saying, there's many times I want to do certain things, but I cannot ever figure out how to perform them. You know the old legend, right? They say that silver bullets kill werewolves. Well, they don't, of course, the real ones. They don't. But there is no magic pill. There is no silver bullet. There is no remedy to make everything perfect in this world. There is none. It never will happen. To make your family perfect, to make everything go perfect, to never have any sin or problems in your household or your marriage or with your kids. There's no silver bullet. And I think, too, that this is part of the Lord's plan, because he knows if we can serve him now in this state that we in, the struggle we have with the flesh and with the world and with the devil, if we can serve him and be faithful now, then we will be forever. Think about when there's no, when we get a new body and there's going to be no more temptation, no more lust of the flesh, no more devil to wrestle with, no more desire whatsoever for any evil thing. Now that's going to be a good day. But see, think about it. It's kind of like you make a man climb a mountain with a 100-pound pack on his back over and over and over and over again, and then one day he finally gets to climb it without the pack. It's like, whoa, this is easy now. But can I tell you, it's not supposed to be easy right now. Right now, you're going through the tests, the trials, the preparation, the dress rehearsal to see if you can be leaders for eternity. You hear me? Doesn't the Bible say that the saints will rule over cities and nations? We will rule and reign with Jesus Christ. We will be teachers. We will judge angels, the Bible says. Are any of us ready for that right now? No, they probably look like, how are they going to judge us? No, we will one day. Oh, come on now. Verse 19. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, Paul, the Apostle Paul, said he did evil. Any Christians in here done evil this week? Curse your brother, sister. You know what I'm saying? We could go down the list. See, don't I know y'all all looking all churchy this morning, but y'all all quiet and look like little sweet little sheep. But underneath that wool, there's some dirt. I know there's some dirt under that nice white wool you washed for church this morning. Bottom line, though, you know, think about it. Look, the stuff we wrestle with privately in our minds and get attacked with in our hearts. Man, if that was broadcast on a loudspeaker, would anybody believe you're a Christian? Ow! I'm just being real this morning, because we deal with, and look, I'm not saying that's what you want to be or that's what you practice, and if, but I'm telling you, that evil that's in your flesh, and the devil works with that. See, the devil, he can't make you do it. But he works with what's already there. You have an enemy in the camp. It's you. In your own camp. And he works with that. And again, the only way, there's no amount of willpower, determination, religious exercises that's going to help you overcome this. The only way is you turn to the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the resurrection power of Jesus. Lord, forgive me. Lord, help me. Lord, fill me. Lord, lead me. Lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from evil. You have not because you ask not. This is why I pray all the time. Lord, lead me in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from evil because it's always lurking. Satan's always lurking. He's always looking. And your flesh is always ready to sell you out. Always. Well, I could tell you some stories. Sometimes I think the Lord even just keeps us from going to certain places sometimes. Because if we went there, we would fall. For the good, verse 19 again. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil that I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not, it is no more I that do it. But what does he say again? He repeats this. But sin that dwelleth in me. See, this is not pleasant. We always want to talk about we got the victory. Right? Oh, Pentecostals, we got the victory. No. You don't. Jesus does. You don't. Jesus overcame the world. Jesus Christ, the only man that never sinned. Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins because he's the only one worthy, the only one that had the ability. It had to be God manifested in the flesh because no man can live a sinless life. God had to come and live in the flesh and live a sinless life to be the atonement, the propitiation, the sacrifice for our sins. And that is the only way that we overcome this. We can't overcome it in our own strength, willpower, or religious rituals. We only overcome it by faith, continual humility, continual going back saying, I need the blood of Jesus Christ to wash me, to cleanse me, to make me new. Somebody praise the Lord. That's right. It's not me. No man can live it perfectly. No woman. Nobody. And this ought to keep us too. Look, we respect leaders God puts in the body of Christ. That's fine. But don't ever think, put them on a pedestal thinking that they're not capable of crashing and burning just as fast as you are. Sometimes the ones that are in the leadership are the ones that the devil is working on the most. Which is why you should pray. The Bible tells you to pray for your leaders. Because the devil's after them. Smite the shepherd, he says, and the sheep will be scattered. That's a principle of Satan. There is a war going on. So he says, you know, there's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, a word, a scripture, a passage. He said, I find then a law, basically, I find this law or this principle, I'm sorry, continually, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. That evil is present with me. Guess what that is? Continuous, ongoing, taking place in the present tense Greek verb. It also says there when he said, I would do good. That's present tense, meaning I always want to do good. See, that's the difference. A Christian, a born-again Christian, always wants to do what is good, what is right, what is holy. He says, but there's a principle, there's a spiritual law that even when I want to do good all the time, he says, evil is present with me. See, and what he's saying there is present with me. Doesn't mean that evil wins all the time in me. Matter of fact, it should never be have dominion over you, meaning it wins all the time. But what he's saying, it's always present. I have people all the time that I have to tell them, you know, we have a deliverance ministry. I've had a deliverance ministry for 35 years from the day one of coming back to the Lord. A lot of people think, well, if I go through deliverance, then I'm not going to have these problems anymore. And I'm like, deliverance is not the cure-all. Deliverance might be taking some of the pack out, you know, some of the weight out of your pack, but it's not the cure-all against the flesh. The flesh you're going to have with you. You're going to have to learn how to subdue the flesh and bring it under control and bring and resist temptation and fight and stand. And then verse 22, this is, again, shows the difference between the true Christian, the lukewarm Christian, or the unsaved person. He says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. I delight in the word of God. The word of God says, don't be an adulterer. I delight in that. I love that. The word of God says, don't be a drunkard. I delight in that. I love that. The word of God says, don't be a fornicator. Don't be a liar. Don't be a thief. Don't be a sorcerer. Don't be a witch. Don't be a drug addict. I delight in that. My inward man, because my inward man, if I'm born again, has been transformed. It's been regenerated. It's been renewed. And so I delight in what the Word of God says. I delight in the truth of God's Word. I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But, verse 23, but I see another law or principle in my members, my physical body, warring against the law of my mind, my soul, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, and then he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death, this physical flesh body? Who will deliver me? And then he says, who? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Meaning the day will come when the body, you'll be freed from the body of this death. You know, one of the cruelest, evil, just nasty, brutal punishments the Roman Empire used to do to people was they would literally slap on a live person, a dead body, corpse, tie it to them. And just let that body decay and rot until it actually began to decay and rot, the living person's body. I can't imagine. They were wicked, man. I mean, these are the people that came up with the crucifixion and everything else. Just wicked. But if you think about it, it's what Paul, when he's saying these words, that's what he's talking about. We are, our spirit and soul, man, is like the living part of our being strapped with this decaying, evil flesh body that we have to carry around is trying to kill us. And we know it stinks because, well, we have to shower it and deodorize it and everything else. I mean, the flesh. I say, Lord, this stuff needs so much work all the time, especially the older you get. And you're like, man, who will deliver me? He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then he says this. Now think about this. So then with the mind, the soul, he says, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. This is the war you're in. Your kingdom is divided. Just the way it is. You say, well, Jesus said, if the kingdom is divided, it shall not stand. Exactly. That's why we all have an appointment with death. That's why our bodies get sick sometimes. They are under the curse. The body is still under the curse. And he says, so I am serving the law of God, but my flesh is always going to want to serve the law of sin. Now remember, when the Bible, when Paul originally wrote the book of Romans, he didn't go, chapter 8. The very next thing he says is this, and listen closely. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Meaning, Which avenue? What are you walking after? What are you chasing? What are you running after? Are you running after the things of the Spirit of God? Are you running after the things of the flesh? See, there's a difference between, let's say, all right, come here, Colin. Oh, come here for a second. Come here. All right. Come here, Puddles. All right. Here we go. All right. Let's just say, Colin says, all right, we need you over here. We need you right over here. All right. We'll make you goodness, righteousness, and the law of God. We'll make you, you know, you like to kill all of God's creatures, so we'll make you the evil guy here. Right? All right. So you're going this way. Well, let's go this way. Just stand right there. So he's going that way. This is evil, wickedness, sin, lust of the flesh going this direction. And this is goodness and peace and righteousness and holiness. And you're going that direction, so you go right there. Now, Romans 8 is this. If I'm chasing after this stone cold killer right here, if I'm chasing after all this right here, then I'm walking after the flesh. See, he's running after adultery and fornication and lust and everything else. But it, so what I'm saying, if I'm chasing after him and I fall down and I get up and I keep chasing him, I'm walking after the flesh. But if I'm chasing after her over here, I'm chasing after this, and I fall down because sin dwelleth in me, evil is present with me. So go on a little bit, go on over that way, go on over there. And I fall down. Oh. But I get back up and I keep going after it this way. That's Romans 8:1. There is no condemnation to you. If you're getting yourself up and going after sweetness here versus the killer. Right? All right. Go ahead. And I say that because this man loves to hunt. And hunting's good. Don't get me wrong. All right. Y'all can go back. Sit down. Thank you for that. And see what happens when you sit in the front row? This is Romans 8:1. So, if you know that you are chasing after the Lord Jesus, after God with all your heart, and you're going after goodness and mercy and righteousness and truth, and you fall down, and you didn't want to fall down, but it happened, you hate it, and you give up, and you say, Lord, forgive me, help me, and keep going the right direction, you're walking after the Spirit of God. And see, that's what I'm saying. For those out there who think Christians are somehow supposed to be perfect and never sin, you don't get it. You don't even understand it. We never claim that. The difference is we don't want to do it. And the difference is we don't let it dominate our lives. That's why Paul wrote in Romans 6, he said, sin shall not have dominion over you. It will not rule you. But it doesn't mean it will never happen. Now, for the Christian, listen to me. If sin is dominating or ruling your life and you're in an adulterous affair or you're in premarital sex or you're in homosexuality or you're in, you're a continual drunkard or you have a drug addiction or whatever, if you can be a Christian and have these habitual sins in your life, these are the signs of trouble. These are the signs of danger. And these are the things that you must do whatever's necessary to break the cycle, to repent, to get free, to get deliverance, to get help, to get out of that so it doesn't have dominion over you anymore. And, I've been trying to explain this and teach this for all these years because it's just, there has to be this understanding of balance. Nobody's saying, people all the time accuse me because I say you can fall away from God and be lost if you want to, even a Christian. And people say, so are you saying you got to be born again and all this stuff? No. No. It's not about that. It's about what you decide to chase after. And if you chase after Jesus and the Word and the truth, you're going to be getting freer and stronger. Doesn't mean you'll never sin. Doesn't mean you'll never fall down. But you should be getting freer and stronger and better. And learning, when you do sin, when you do fall, you learn from it. Keep yourself humble. I'm not better than anybody. Keep yourself humble. Get up. Keep going. Why don't you go to Psalm, it's only 12 o'clock, so we can't let you out of here yet. Psalm 39. This is, say, somebody say, this is good stuff. This is real life Christianity here, y'all. Psalm 39. I'm not going to read it all. This always comes to me. This verse always comes to me. We're going to read from verse 1, and then I'll get to where I want to get to here. Psalm of David here, it says, I said I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. So he's saying, I'm trying to take heed to my ways, and that I sin not. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. I was dumb with silence. I held my peace, even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then I spake with my tongue. And here's what he said, Lord, make me to know my end. Make me to know my end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Help me understand, Lord, how frail I am. Think about that right there. We are. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man, now listen to this, verily or truly, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. That's what the Lord has to say about us. When you think you are hot stuff, you're doing it all right, you're Mr. or Mrs. Holy, high and lifted up. Like, no. Even when you're doing your best, the Lord says that is vanity. Because where is your faith supposed to be? In what you're doing and when you're doing your best, or in what Jesus has done for you? Every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Selah. You know what that means? Pause and think about this. I do often. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Oh, man. Especially these politicians. I'm around. What is politics? You know what politics is? It's to create a 30-second or 1-minute ad that puts out this best version of what you think you are. And it's usually not true for 99.9% of them. I'm so sick of the Hallmark campaign commercials. All right? I was a poor child. Now I'm a rich child. Stop. Please stop. I was raised in a shack on the Mississippi River. But now, look at me. I glow and shine. So there's a perfect sun flare behind me in the field of wheat. Elect me as your governor. Oh, I hate it. It's a vain show. Oh. I could really go on with that one for a bit. Oh, Jesus, help me. I'm thinking about some very specific ones right now. Surely every man, verse 6, walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted in vain, and heapeth up riches, and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? What am I waiting for? Because I hate all this mess. My hope is in you. That's what he says. My hope is in you, Lord. My hope is not in this world. It's not in putting forth some vain show. No. My hope is in Jesus, period. I have no hope or ability or strength or power apart from him and him alone. If he doesn't work through me, I have nothing. I have nothing. I am nothing. That's why I'm always praying, Lord, please speak through me, because I don't want it to be me. Because I know me is no good. Me helps nobody. Please, Lord, speak through me. Please, Lord, anoint me and let your spirit flow through me. Please, Lord, let me just be a glove for your hand. Just a glove. And then, you know what? When he's working through us, that's the only time we're good. That's the only time anything's actually profitable, is when he's working through us. There's a lot of people out there trying to do good, do, you know, give to charity, start charities, and help this, help that, help the, and all that's fine and dandy. But even all that is still the human being trying to be good instead of trying to be with God. Now, if you're with God and he leads you to do those things, that's different. But if you're just trying to do those things to make yourself feel good or be good or look good, it's all vanity. The only thing that matters is what God tells you to do and what he works through you to do. That's it. That's all that matters. And then he says this. Look at this. He says, Lord, I wait for you. In verse 8, deliver me from all my transgressions. Make me not the reproach of the foolish. See what David is saying there? Lord, please deliver me from my transgressions, because I don't want to make you look foolish. I don't want to make my relationship with you and Christianity, I don't want that people to look at me and go, yeah, that Christianity is foolishness. Please help me, deliver me. Notice where the faith is. Lord, you have to deliver me from my transgression. I can't do it myself. You know, people that think, well, I'll clean my life up and then I'll get born again. No, 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 no. You cannot do it. Right? It's like trying to hold 3 or 4 beach balls underwater. Good luck. I've said that before many times. This is just a good illustration. Trying to be good, trying to put on that best show. Be best, you know, I guess the next book Osteen can put out, The Best Face Now. No. Lord, deliver me. Lord, help me. Do you think Peter had any intention on denying Jesus? No intention. It was not in his heart. Lord, I will not do that. Remember, the Lord told him, you're going to deny me 3 times. Peter's like, no, I will not. I mean, he's arguing with the Lord. I will die with you. And then he gets in that situation where Jesus allows himself to be taken and beaten, and he's confused and he's scared and all this stuff is going on. And then the little girl confronts him. Aren't you with him? What? Bleep, bleep, bleep. I don't know him. Bleep, bleep, bleep. It says he cursed. So Peter went to cussing like a real fisherman. I don't know the guy. Did it 3 times. But what happened? The moment the rooster crowed, it says Peter ran out and wept bitterly. You know why? It was never in his heart or his intention to deny, betray the Lord, or curse. What was that that rose up? The flesh. It was afraid. It was confused. It was in a weak moment. And the devil was there. All kind of demons were there. But do you think he intended on doing that? And the Lord tells him, now think about this. The Lord tells him he's going to do it. And then he says to him, Peter, when you are converted, this is all Luke 22, when you're converted, Meaning when you get your act back together, when you ask for forgiveness and get straight again, strengthen your brethren. Meaning the Lord was already looking to Peter being forgiven and restored and back to doing what he was called to do. It was like, I see a hiccup coming in your life, Peter. No, it's not, Lord. Oh, yes, it is. And why did Jesus know that? Remember, they'd just been in the garden. I'm gonna give you this, and we need to quit. They was just in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus said, "Why don't y'all need to go over here and pray? Because this is some serious stuff about to go down. Go over here and pray. I'm gonna go over here and pray." Jesus goes and prays, and he comes back, and he finds them sleeping, and he told them what? Pray that you enter not into temptation. He said, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." And because he had been sleeping when he should have been praying, which was flesh, when he's standing there warming himself by that fire, and the little girl goes, "Aren't you with him? Aren't you one of them? You sound like a Galilean." No! Bleep, 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 bleep. No, not me. No, Peter didn't intend on doing it, what he did that night. David didn't intend. He didn't plan what he did that night. Now, the cover-up he planned, that's another thing. You do something stupid like that and start planning. Sometimes the cover-up's worse than the crime. That's going on right now a lot. Folks, we look to the blood of Jesus. 1 John chapter 1 says, if any of us say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. If we say we don't sin, even now if we say we don't sin, we make him a liar. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus will wash our sins away. That is the good news, folks. The good news is that we can be forgiven. Those of you that don't know Jesus, you've never known Jesus. The good news is that he wants to forgive you. You just got to ask him. And you got to be willing to take up your cross and follow him and to hate what he hates and love what he loves. Hate sin and evil and wickedness and love righteousness and truth and holiness. Love what he loves, take up your cross, and chase after Jesus is all you have to do with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Just go after him and love him and hate sin. And if you fall down, don't stay down. Get up and keep moving forward. Love him enough to get up, say, "Wash me off, dust me off, Lord, clean me up again." You might have dirt on your knees. Let him clean you up and keep going. Don't give up. Don't miss out on eternity with him. Heaven and all the things he said that he hadn't even told us about that he's going to give to those that love him and that make it on that day. He said, "Hold fast and don't let anyone take your crown." Don't let anything down here in this world take away from you eternal life, your relationship with Jesus, and that what he has for us for all eternity. We're here, it's just a blip of time. You say, "Oh, what if I live to be 95? It's still a blip of time compared to tens of thousands of years to come. Don't miss out on what the Creator and our Savior, our Redeemer, what he has for us. He says he's going to make a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. He said the things have not entered into the heart of man. He said the things that I've prepared for those that love. Can't even comprehend what he has for you for all eternity. Don't sell it for a pot of evil porridge. Yeah. Or a shot. Or an implant in your hand so you can participate in the universal income. so you can be friends with Klaus Schwab. We have true Bond villains out there, don't we?
The Klaus Schwab.
Yes. He is a true Bond villain. He is. Let's stand. I want to do that song again we did for the Rita Springer song. There's freedom. Real freedom. Real freedom is knowing that you know he loves you, that your sins are forgiven or can be forgiven, and that you can make it. Isn't it good to know that you don't have to be perfect to still make it? Isn't that goodness from God? But we also got to hate. We can't go the other direction, say, well, let me just go indulge all this evil and wickedness. No. No. You're going to end up in the place of the one you follow. If you're chasing after the devil, you're going to end up with him. If you're chasing after Jesus, you're going to end up with him. It's that simple. Amen. Let's do this song before we go. True freedom.
Tired and thirsty, there is freedom.
Thank you for your spirit being with us today, upon us, Lord. I sense your presence here today. We are so grateful for what you did on the cross for us, Lord, that you took our sins in your body on the cross, Lord. You paid the price of suffering and death and shedding your blood for our sin. You rose from the dead on the third day because, Lord, you were incorruptible, sinless. Death could not hold you. And Lord, we're grateful that through you we can find forgiveness, eternal life, and eventually, Lord, a new body that's made like yours, immortal, incorruptible, holy, powerful. And Lord, we want to be with you forever. And we thank you for that, that we can be, that there is hope for all of us, no matter how sinful or wicked we have been, there is a hope in you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. You know, I want to say this. I don't care what anybody says. People can criticize. I get criticized, attacked about all kind of stuff. Nobody can say and tell the truth anyway. Nobody can say that our church or that me as a pastor, or that we are not about Jesus Christ and him crucified and him resurrected and him as the only way to heaven, as the only way to be saved or forgiven of your sins, and that this very real Jesus is going to come back. That's what we're about. That's what we're all about. And we're going to teach everything in the Bible, but we are about Jesus in this place. Jesus is the one you need. Not Fire and Grace Church, not Pastor Dean. You need Jesus most of all. That's it. Find him, and you'll find what you need. Amen. All right. Y'all know the drill. Hug some necks before you leave. Go ahead and praise the Lord. You can. Hallelujah. He's here today. He's moving. I know God's speaking to somebody. I just say this. We had little Grant was born again in the service last week. So can we praise God for that? And let me tell you, it was real. Young man told me, said the Spirit of God came all over him during the service, gave him a word, said, go to God, Grant. Little tears welled up in his eyes when he told me about it. Man, that's awesome, brother. I'm so happy for you. All right. Well, we love y'all. God bless. Send us emails. Hey, if you came to know Jesus, you've given your life to Jesus, let us know. We want to hear your testimony. Share it with us. Send me an email. To the church or dnoodle.org or fireandgracechurch.org. Send us an email. Let us know. All right. Hug some necks before you leave. All right, folks, let me go ahead and tell you real quick.